He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
That's right. Nate Taylor, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark Ferguson and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor joins us. Nate, are you excited for Orgy to take on the Trojans this weekend? That's a headline. I didn't make that up.
No, it's happening in Michigan.
Sure. Okay. I guess, yeah. That is quite the headline.
Wow. Welcome to 2024. I guarantee the headlines get a lot more deeper than that. Nate, I want to bring this up because I thought these odds were crazy on DraftKings. Do you know who the number two best odds to score a touchdown this weekend against Atlanta and Kansas City are? Number one is Bijan Robinson. I'll give you the free space. Guess who number two is?
And this is either team, right?
Either team.
Interesting. I would say, I don't know, Rashee Rice. I mean, he obviously scored, last Sunday.
It is none other than Carson Steele at minus 105.
He's got the second best odds to score a touchdown.
Bijan Robinson, I believe, is like minus 130, and Carson Steele is minus 105. What is his role now that Isaiah Pacheco is out with Kareem Hunt on the practice squad?
Yeah, no, it's I guess somewhat understandable. Again, I would pick like Travis Kelce or Rashee Rice instead of Carson Steele to be that high. But look, I wrote it in The Athletic today. The expectation is Carson Steele is going to be the starting running back. This undrafted rookie who's technically a fullback, but obviously can handle the ball if necessary. Look, he's going to get about 14, 15 touches. Against the Falcons. So it'll be obviously a very, memorable moment in his career, especially for this to happen so quickly in just week three of the of his rookie season. But again, if he scores a touchdown, again, what a moment for him if that happens against the Falcons, in a win, of course. But yeah, I mean, for DraftKings, to basically – I don't know how much the Chiefs are really hiding it at this point. I know Andy sort of alluded to it on Monday in the aftermath of obviously Isaiah Pacheco needing to have surgery on his fractured fibula. But I also know, too, that even with them bringing in Kareem Hunt, that's a move that's more about, like, in my opinion, week four, maybe week five, of course, to get him sort of in rhythm with the offense. So at least for one game, it's going to be Carson Steele's opportunity with obviously, Samaje Perine still being the third down back.
Yeah, I think that's obviously a good way to approach it. I know he kind of said yesterday Kareem may play. I think that's a brilliant coaching move by Andy because now Atlanta's preparing for Kareem Hunt and he may not play in that game, but it just gives something for Atlanta to do to waste their time, which Andy is a brilliant mastermind at getting other teams to waste their time preparing for things. So I like the fact that he threw that out there. But how do you really feel about the Pacheco injury and Carson Steele being the guy? Because I look at Pacheco, I go, yeah, he's a really good player, micro. Macro is the Chiefs won a Super Bowl with Sharkhandrick West and Spencer Ware as their running back. So I look at it like, yeah, it seems like a big loss now, but Andy Reid, big picture, it's like they figure it out at the running back position, Nate.
Yeah, they've certainly done it before in the past. And, there's a reason I think that they didn't really invest in the position throughout the offseason. I think one reason was to give Isaiah Pacheco the bulk of the work, entering his third year. I think another reason too is because it is the one position that you can pretty much integrate within about a week or two, more so than like a tight end or a receiver. And so this is kind of, what you anticipate, right? You would love to have four really good running backs. I think that's the Chiefs' ultimate goal here. Especially if Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back and can be serviceable in October. But with a rookie and with someone who you know in the past, who's not the same player, obviously, in Kareem Hunt, this goes to, okay, who do you trust? Do you trust, obviously, Patrick Mahomes to have a little bit more of the burden? Sure, we've obviously seen it before. And, of course, do you trust the coaching staff between, you know, Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator? Well, now it gets to, you know, some bubble screens, I think some traditional screens. Obviously, there'll be jet sweeps involved if you want to use Xavier Worthy to get the defense going side to side. And then, yes, I think the most productive thing that Carson Steele has done is show that he can be effective in short yardage situations. So even if you get in the third and one or third and two, you can hand the ball off to him with some confidence, because he showed obviously last week against the Bengals, despite the fumble, hey, I can still get you three really tough yards if necessary. And maybe that's one reason he will be projected to perhaps score a touchdown against the Falcons. My thing, though, is now this should lead to, you know, Patrick Mahomes trying to get in rhythm more often with Travis Kelce, right, because he is your outlet if the running game isn't as strong as it normally would be with, you know, which obviously a healthy Pacheco.
Well, and Nate Taylor, that's kind of where I was thinking about this week as well. This is a week where I'm predicting Travis Kelce to quote unquote have that breakout week. I think everything kind of lines up. The national press is starting to talk, oh my God, Travis is washed. It's more than just Carrington and Rob saying it, right? It's Sunday Night Football. It's Atlanta, where Tony Gonzalez became a great tight end, as we all know. And you know, people are talking about Travis's production going down. I think all of that adds up to me for a huge night from Travis Kelce. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it certainly should lead to that, right? I mean, that would be an ideal situation, is for, you know, Xavier Worthy to have a highlight or two. But obviously, it's time for the Chiefs, after two games, to sort of feature Travis Kelce again. I think there is some misunderstanding from some pundits, some analysts, to say, well, you know, maybe he's, you know, struggling yet again. Well, Travis is healthy, and I saw how capable he could be for this offense in training camp. It's just a matter of having him run the routes that he's really good at, and not trying to get, you know, the ball to Rashee Rice, or not trying to get, you know, Xavier Worthy in rhythm as quickly as you can, you know, in his rookie season. It's unfortunate with the Hollywood Brown situation. But I think for some reason against the Bengals, which has normally been the case, Patrick struggles to pass the ball into the middle of the field. But if you watch the game Monday, one of the things that the Eagles really could do was pass the ball in the middle of the field against the Atlanta Falcons. It's obviously helpful that they have a pretty good running game with Saquon Barkley. But I do get the sense that, hey, if the Falcons struggled, you know, with the Eagles tight ends, this should be a case for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to just work some of those short routes. Then you get to some of the intermediate routes. And of course, if you open up things with play action in the red zone, I imagine Travis Kelce will probably be a focal point, considering that you don't have Hollywood Brown and now you don't have Isaiah Pacheco.
I think it's interesting when you look at this defense, too, because the first 2 weeks, tight ends have been the thorn in the side for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's been Gesicki, and then before that, it was Isaiah Likely. I don't think Gesicki's going to have the game he had this week against anybody else the rest of the season. Kyle Pitts, man, we're fantasy guys. We're football geeks, Nate. Never lived up to the expectations that we thought he would have. Is this the type of game where, like, you put, you know, Nick Bolton up against him? Like, what's the role here with Nick Bolton in this game against Atlanta?
Gentlemen, I'm terrified.
Okay. Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. I'm really terrified, because I think the book is out on the Chiefs defense, which, again, a really good unit. They're not going to be as dominant as they were a year ago. We all kind of expected that without L'Jarius Sneed, but I didn't think there was going to be such a vacant hole in the middle of the defense, right?
Yeah.
So I get the sense that, okay, who can improve from the options that you have? I don't know if they're going to play Drew Tranquil more than Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton is the middle linebacker. So based on the responsibility in Steve Spagnuolo's system, you've got to be on the field, you know, almost the majority, if not all of the time. Now you could say, well, Nate, what about Justin Reed? Can we put Justin Reed on Kyle Pitts? Well, you can try to do that, but I think there are some formation and some scheme issues that allow Nick Bolton to be in a one-on-one situation with someone who's, you know, a freakish athletic human being in Kyle Pitts. And it's one thing for week one where it's like, okay, this is the first time that you can really tell, okay, Kirk Cousins hasn't played with any of these guys. Mm-hmm. And now we saw, okay, in a hurry-up situation, game on the line. Okay, that's some of the things that, you know, the Falcons sort of anticipated when they did have training camp before, obviously, the preseason and your opener. So, you know, the more, you know, Kirk Cousins is on the field, the more he's going to be in rhythm. And if Kyle Pitts isn't the one running routes, they should definitely have Bijan Robinson just, you know, leak out of the backfield and try to find one-on-one matchups with Nick Bolton or, you know, Leo Chenault. As well as Leo Chenault has played, Bijan Robinson's really good. He's really dynamic. So those are the two players that really, you know, concern me about this game. And part of that is because the Chiefs have not covered tight ends well this season, like you're saying, Dusty. And also, you can just check it down to Bijan Robinson and see if he can make a, you know, Nick Bolton miss a tackle or two to maybe move the chains and keep the possession going forward for the Falcons. I'm not worried about the Falcons receivers necessarily. I'm worried about the tight ends and Bijan Robinson.
Kind of a 2-point conversation though. Like I feel like no team that I've ever been around does a better job of stepping up their game when everybody says they can't, right? Like as soon as people start doubting, guys raise their level. That could be the case with Nick Bolton this week, where everybody's been kind of down on him the first 2 weeks. Maybe he takes that heat, takes that criticism, however you want to say it, and uses that and motivates himself and plays better. But why do you see what we're calling a drop off from Nick Bolton this year?
I think it's a couple things. I'm not sure he's like fully healthy. I know he will not tell, you know, I don't think he'll give us honest answers about that. But, you know, of course, he had the elbow injury in training camp. He had a litany of injuries last season. And I think that is sort of starting to affect his level of play. And I think part of it, too, is because he didn't play in the preseason, fellas, the game was moving faster for him than I think a lot of his teammates. Right. So, mm-hmm. It's not great when you haven't had any really, you know, any real football that you've played since the Super Bowl. And then the first game you play is against Lamar Jackson. And all of a sudden, Isaiah Likely is the leading tight end, not Mark Andrews. And then I think last week he showed better signs, right? There was that one play where he did recognize the screen, blew that up for the Bengals. He was better in run support. But I do think, hey, this is what happens. There's a slow deterioration for most players as they play more games, more snaps. And I don't know if there's the explosiveness from Nick Bolton in terms of running sideline to sideline. He's never been like an elite speed guy, but I do think there is a little bit of a slower step from him. And from a cover standpoint, I think it's somewhat concerning because you can almost look at it on film and say, is he thinking too much? Is he not reacting as quickly as we've seen in the past? Are his instincts just not in rhythm yet, because it might take him, you know, a month to A, get healthier, and B, get into more of a, you know, what he's been consistently on tape, which is terms of, hey, I make the sure tackle, my instincts are good, I'm usually in the right spot, even though I'm not the most athletic guy on the field. Well, if you're just having a little bit of deterioration in any of those points, most NFL teams can start to expose that, especially when you know, tight ends are only going to get better in this league. And based on the Chiefs' schedule, this is not the easiest start, right? You're not playing right. The Carolina Panthers to mm-hmm. open up the season. And you don't have, like, a team that has a lot of injuries, like, let's say, like the Los Angeles Rams, right? So you can sort of scheme around some of the skill position weaknesses that the other team has. Right now, outside of T. Higgins, he was the only person who was really injured that matters of these first 2 weeks, and the Atlanta Falcons don't really have an injury that concerns you from an offensive standpoint as well. So I do think there's a little bit of a slow step. I'm not sure he's fully healthy. And so you just hope, can he get healthier as the season goes along, and can he get better at his own technique, his own eyes, in terms of recognizing what the offense is trying to do to counteract what the defensive call is.
Nate, last one real quick, kind of funny. The manpire is what I call him, Mel Kiper, is just absolutely irate that thinks the NFL should be banning the too high safety that it is ruining football. What's
what?
Yeah, he says that the too high safety is ruining football. Do you agree or disagree?
You know what else is ruining football?
No.
I mean, my God.
I mean, I mostly agree with Mel Kiper a couple of days ago when he said, "Hey, the Carolina Panthers have really done a disservice to Bryce Young based on all the changes they made from year one to year two." Totally understand that. Totally agree. I woke up this morning and saw it on the screen, and I said, "I'm sorry, what?" isn't that what we have, coaches? Isn't the quarterback? And this is what Tom Brady always says, and I have a lot of respect for. We have really dumbed it down for these quarterbacks because, A, they're too young and they're playing too soon. Hey, man, if there's two deep safeties, somebody's got to be open on a dig route. You can run a screen game. You can do what the Chiefs did even last week and hope that somebody makes a tackle or miss in the open field, right? We could just throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and, hey, if they can't rally and tackle, guess what? That's 8 yards and we keep this thing moving. But, no, I mean, let's be honest, okay? There's a reason why defenses are having two deep safeties, but no, this is like, you know, it's unfortunate that we've all gotten to a place where it's like the 1990s or the 1980s are like a disservice to what we're watching now. But it's like, hey man, we saw the 46 Bears defense, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody thought that was crazy at the time, but guess what? Football evolves. You kind of get better. The coaching staffs are supposed to figure it out. That's why they're getting paid millions of dollars. But no, it's okay sometimes to watch a 17-20 game because the defense is like, we're not going to give up the easy chunk yard plays or the easy throw it over our head score. So if you want it in the 30s in September, I understand that. But football is about the strategical mismatches, the strategical adjustments. So, no, if a team is playing you a certain way, it's your responsibility, Mel Kiper, to figure out how can we get in the end zone, even though there's two deep safeties.
Mel Kiper just reported he's good with not having defenses allowed in the NFL anymore. Just offense against air, and that way we can get it done. I think streaming on Peacock ruins the NFL more than the too high safety, and I'm being serious about that.
Okay. Well, Nate, hey, man.
Sure.
Well, hey, go say hi.
How many people have you heard complain about streaming versus the too high safety?
I've heard a lot of people say, "No, what game is on?" And I'm like, "Oh boy, it's on that Peacock thing." And they're like, "Well, I didn't." What's funny though is like people are like, "Well, I don't have it," and it's like, "That's right," because like they played their playoff game here, so like you didn't need Peacock, but you're gonna need Peacock pretty soon, guys.
Well, hey Nate, go enjoy Atlanta's new and Atlanta's own Aaron Ladd as you guys go check out Magic City this week in Atlanta and have fun watching that game on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you, fellas, as always.
You got it. No problem. Nate Taylor there on Fesco and Dutsy, presented by Mark Ferguson.